a few Ha'aros in the Gemara. So just to very briefly review, we had a machlokes between, I think, the simple reading of Rashi and the Maharshal, when Rashi says that in the case of the Chaya, that if it's Mishayer, it's not Derech Lishayer Kamo Behema, but if it is Mishayer, it is Darko Lahatsnia. So Rashi says, you're not going to violate Baal Yira. The Marshal jumps in, is Nahi that you violated Baal Yimatze, because it's not really about seeing it, but Baal Yimatze is about association. I've pointed out in the past that that svara itself is very compelling, because Baal Yira is predicated on Baalus. The association is established through the Baalus track. But when it comes to Shivas Yam Misor Leimatzi Vateichem, there's no Tanai of Lecha, so that it's the association, it's the closeness to you. So Nihi that you violated Baal Yimatzeh, because it's in your property, it's in your jurisdiction, it is associated with you. You're not going to violate Baal Yira if you are not capable of actually seeing the Chametz. That's the Maharshal's reading. I thought that was not the most likely reading of Rashi, but Rashi does subscribe to the simple reading of the Gemara on Hayom and Beis. That Baal Yira and Baal Yimatzeh trigger each other across the board. But the reason Rashi says it like the way that he does is because Rashi is operating l'shitaso, that Baal Yira, Baal Yimatzeh really is rotza b'kiyumos. He just says it very quickly, that if you can't see the chametz, there's no chance for Mishah filu rega echad v'chas alei. And again, despite all of the Ramban's attacks on Rashi's position, which Rishon that we saw very recently fundamentally agrees with Rashi about that point, the Ran is in agreement with Rashi pretty much across the board. Okay, so that was point number one. Then we saw that the Baalei HaTosos had an extremely important geder as far as what Baal Yimatzeh actually constitutes. So Avi, you want to just review that for us? The Baalei HaTosos were talking about, again, the same issue of Chaya Mitzana. And they said, okay, but maybe you'll violate the Isser of Baal Yatmin, of Hatmanas Chametz, which is what the Gemara refers to in Daf Hei, that Baal Yira'a does not cover either Baal Yatmin or Baal Yakabel Pikdonos. But then they say, no, that's not enough, because Baal Yimatzeh really requires exactly Yediyas HaChametz, that you don't have to know, I don't think, if it's the second drawer or the third drawer or the fourth drawer or that pantry or that pantry, but you have to have some knowledge that it's really there. But the idea that a chaya amorphously squirreled it somewhere into your rishus, even if that factually is correct, that doesn't cross the threshold level of association with a chametz. So this is extremely important in terms of the Baalei HaTosos giving us a threshold level for what would constitute Baal Yimatzeh. So David, we started talking yesterday about the Mishnah and Temura that will be really our point of departure for all subsequent analysis and bring us to the final stage of this entire, 2-week presentation of the issues of Bedikas Chametz and Bittul Chametz and Beer, the overview of Orli Arbas are essentially. So the Mishnah and Temura distinguished between what and what, David. This is where we were yesterday. Okay, so you're dealing with Isurei Hana'ah. And it sounds like, from the simple reading of the Mishnah, that one has two co-equal ways of dissociating oneself from an Isser Hana'ah, or maybe even more aptly put, of disposing of Isurei Hana'ah. Track number one is called Kavura, bury it, and track number two is called Sreifa. And there's no real fundamental or qualitative difference between these. Just again, based on the Mishnah, it's like Arba Misos Bezdin. You have, Skila, Sreifa, Herig, and Chenek. And I guess with the possible exception of Chenek, which is Stam Misa, Mura, Betora, everything, it's just different ways of handling things. Skila is going to be reserved for the worst. Again, we're not talking about something where there's a difference of kind. If anything, there's going to be a difference of degree. The Haraya, the Machlokes Tanaim, what's even worse, Skila, or Sreifa, Hereg, V'chenek. But as we shall see, there is an alternative interpretation, made very famous by Reb Chaim, that will capture, possibly, an essential and fundamental dispute between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. But let's, again, not get ahead of ourselves. Let's quickly review that machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. We'll review what we know about it in terms of Rishonim on different sides of the issue, and what may have driven them to those conclusions. So again, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, Yaakov had a machlokes about what Bi'ur Chametz is, Rabbi Yehuda's position is, and Bi'ur Chametz ala Sreifa, very good, and the Chachamim tell us, Hashbesaso b'chol davar, that we can dispose of it in any way that we would choose to dispose of it. Okay, who do we know paskins like Rabbi Yehuda? The Balei HaTosfos, exactly right. Right, they quote Rabbi Akiva, Matzinu lehavara shi'av melacha. And we wondered why exactly they paskin like Rabbi Akiva, especially if Rabbi Yehuda is a das yachid, but maybe because of the strength of Rabbi Akiva. But we introduced yesterday that we probably can discern why they paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. Eitan? The Stam Mishnah in Masachta Temura says that Chametz is amongst the Nisrafin and not amongst the Nikvarim. Now, David pointed out yesterday, I think quite correctly, that doesn't say Chametz Be'arbas, or it does say Chametz Be'Pesach. So, Yesh Ladun, it's not Araya Mukrachas. But which Rishon that we saw yesterday did say, oh, by the way, this is an affirmation of Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. When it says Chametz Be'Pesach is Min HaNisrafin, Rami? The Bar Tanura said that means that the Stam Mishnah here is Aliba de Rabbi Yehuda, but it happens to be one of these cases where we're not going to follow the Stam Mishnah. Obviously, there's sufficient evidence in the other direction so as to neutralize the strength of the Stam Mishnah in supporting the view of Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, but that at least gives us an insight as to where the Ba'alei HaTosos were coming from. Okay, let's try now to go a little bit further by reviewing Shitas HaRambam in the Sefer HaMitzvot, and we will take it from there. Noam, go ahead. Yes. So again, I think that's a point well taken. But you know, when it comes to Bali Rab Bali Matze, probably the best way to say it is that they really do relate to different different kinds of connection that a person can have with something, and they each have their strengths, and they each have their weaknesses. So starting with Bali Rab really in the pasuk is predicated on Bailus. Which is why, and I feel very strongly about this, that bilos is such a fundamental connection between a person and an object that it even stretches b'chol gevulecha, right? No matter where it is. It doesn't have to be in your house, but let's say, you live in one of these rural areas and it's 20 miles away, but in the end of the day, the bilos is enough of a zika, of a connection, that that's going to lock you in. Meidach, your point is well taken as well. Sometimes, even if you lack the foundational connection that bilos per se establishes, having something in one's very close proximity is also a form of strong association. So in that sense, I think that's the underlying logic as to why Bali Ra'ah and Bali Matze are really complementary of one another. Why you can have this mechanism of litanis ha'amr shol zeh ba'zeh, that once you violate one, that it triggers the other, because it's really describing two different ways of being connected to chametz. So far, so good?
Yeah.
Okay, now, I think what gets really interesting is the following notion. We've been focusing a lot on Rabbi Lazar's statement on Vav Amud Beis, and this is admittedly a little bit more of a subtle piece of analysis, but just follow the train of thought for a second. And Rabbi Elazar pointed out, and we focused on this very heavily when we were learning the Ran, but it can't be stated enough, that the very fact that this is an Isser Hana'a really dissociates you from this object, Bal Karchach, right? That you really are cut off from it. But now let me ask you the following question. The standing of this object as an Isser Hana'a, does that more directly impact the question of Bali Ra'ah or the question of Bali Matzeh based on the analysis that we set up? I would agree. So I think, in theory, the direction of the Maharshal to want to say that there are cases where you might violate Bali Matzeh but not Bali Ra'a is a very plausible direction. I think that the more you emphasize Rabbi Lazar's statement that the halacha has stripped you of bailus of this, it's just an enormous chiddush that says, okay, but for purposes of Bali Rabbi Yamatza, you're considered the owner. That's the what the Gemara refers to as Asan HaKasuv Ki'ilu. Right? It's a very big chiddush. So if you're asking me, that's the way that I would try to formulate it, and those are issues of endless fascination, I think, to anybody in the first parak of Psachim, for sure. That's why I wanted you to see the Maharshal, even though in this case I think it's a very much a long shot in terms of Pshat and Rashi. Let's take a look at the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos. Again, we've seen this before, but I think it'll be, again, always through a different light. And then the Rambam in the Anach Hazaka, followed up by the Sefer HaChinuch, who's always, you know, following in the wake of the Rambam, exactly the way that we would expect it. So, Shimi? Okay, excellent. So let's now, again, just based on what it was we were really just analyzing, and then coming back to the question of Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim in that order. So Shemi, the focus of the Rambam here, in terms of the mitzvah saseh, is obviously on Bir Chametz, as a mitzvah saseh, but as we've noted, he ties it back in to the Lo Saseh, and he feels very compelled of all the, as I like to say, many thousands of Mamari Chazal that the Rambam could have potentially cited when it comes to establishing the mitzvah of Bir Chametz. Of all things, he chooses a Mamar Chazal that conceptualizes it as part of a framework, including a Lo Saseh. Now, as we noted in the past, the Rambam does not say what, Avi? It's not a Lav Hanitak La'aseh, but Yesh Bo Lav V'Yesh Bo Aseh. Now, that's going to be extremely important for everything that we're going to see, because if you define the Aseh relative to the Lav, so leave, what does that make you think of? Does that make you think in terms of the direction of the Ran that you're, you know, not obligated to go out and get chametz for the purposes of destroying it? It's really tied into the Isurim of Bali Ra, Bali Matzei. Or would you say, again, at this point, it's based on the Sefer Mitzvahs, that the Rambam was more of a person that would argue that you need to destroy the chametz under any and all circumstances, a mitzvah chiyuvis, if he's going to link it to a discussion of the Lo Saseh? Okay. Anybody else? Yuda?
I would say more like the former, because it's not allowed when you talk about Aseh, then you have to purge it in order to make up for the Aseh. It's just to make sure you...
It's not a lav ani tak la'aseh. He formulates it in light of the lav, right? That shivas yamim se'or lo yimatzeh bevatechem is the lav that he's alluding to based on this Yerushalmi and Sanhedrin. I think the early odds, you know, not all the returns are in on the Rambam, but the early odds would be that the Rambam basically thinks that there's an obligation to get rid of chametz, assuming you own chametz, assuming you possess chametz. But not that the Rambam thinks that there's some independent mitzvah aseh to destroy chametz. I think that probably emerges from this selection, if we're reading the Rambam very closely, long before we get to the incredibly original and creative analysis of Rabbi Chaim in terms of evaluating the question of Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. Moreover, which lav, as we just mentioned, is the Rambam focused on? Yes. It's interesting. The Rambam doesn't talk about destroying the chametz that you own. He could have said that. But the Rambam focused more on the Vayar chametz mibateinu. Again, if you're not sensitive to the distinction between Ba'ira and Ba'imatze, there's no way that you would ever make a big deal of this. But once you have that association, you start to wonder, right? The Rambam, the mitzvah of Bir Chametz, has to do with dissociating yourself with Chametz that happens to be in your proximity, but not necessarily the Chametz which is under your bilus. Shivas Yamim Sa'or Lo Yimatze Bivatechem. That I think will also be a significant point as we move forward. So Shimi Yad HaChazaka. So we immediately know the Rambam paskins like the Chachamim Hashbisaso Bechol Davar. So you do have to be careful, right? You can't just sort of get rid of it in a pro forma way, but you really have to make sure that it is mushbas. Never reached the state of being an Isser. So this is what we refer to in the halacha as a faran asr. That even though you burned it, because it reached a state of isr hana, so if you weren't allowed to benefit from this, simply burning it does not remove the isr hana. The isr hana is not paka, it remains stigmatized as an isr hana, a faran asr. Well, a very fascinating thing that the Isser Hana is really durable. And the Isser Hana continues to persist long after the Chametz has been utterly destroyed, Kol Zman, that it really took on a shame Isser once the sixth hour came and went. And again, let's remind ourselves that the sixth hour isn't even the Isser Hana d'Oraisa, that's only the Isser Hana, to use the Rambam's expression, midivrei sofrim. So clearly, the Rambam does paskin like the Chachamim, hashbisaso bichol davar, and that, and this will be important as we set up Reb Chaim here, and that means that even when a person does sreifa, there's nothing unique about that sreifa process. Because, as we'll get to, if you're talking about things that are in the list on the Mishnah of Temura of Min HaNisrafin, the result ought to have been Min HaNisrafin. What happens if it's something that typically is burnt? A faran mutter. So the Afer should have been mutter, but by virtue of the fact that the nature of the mitzvah is hashbisaso bechol davar, the Afer remains stigmatized, and everything produced by that potential fuel is also aser bahana. Sort of a criminal thing to read the Minchas Chinuch without the Sefer HaChinuch. It's always good to know his shita anyway. So let's take a look. Shimi, go ahead at the Sefer Achinuch.
Sefer Achinuch. Lahasir kol lechem chametz mishkanoseinu b'yom arba asar b'nisan shenemar ach b'yom harishon tashbisu sor mibatecha.
So it's pretty closely tracking the Rambam, right? No no shocker there. Instead of Batenu, he has Mishkan Oseinu, a little bit broader, but he's starting with the Pasuk. Perish Rishon, Kodem LePesach, Dinei HaMitzvah.
Kigon Shas Biro Miyom Matai, Umahi Hashpasaso.
Or the chapso, right? Chipus, to search out. Okay, so I think it's fair to say that the Sefer HaChinuch basically tracks the Rambam in all respects. And even though he doesn't quote the Yerushalmi, the presentation is really very similar to the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos. It immediately feels the need to say, even though, of course, he deals with this independently, that there is an Isser that is triggered by retaining the Chametz. But again, interestingly, if there's one interesting piece here in the Sefer HaChinuch, when he says, by the way, Israel, right, failure to do Tashbisu is not only going to be a bitul asay, but more significantly a los asay. So Israel, what does he focus on within the world of the los asay? Also tracking very closely in the Rambam. Exactly, Bal Yimatze, he does not happen to mention here Bal Yera'ah. Okay? Failure to do Tashbisu is fundamentally a violation of Bal Yimatze, even if that happens to trigger Bal Yira'ah, the second time that we've made that observation. Okay. Yehuda, just see the Hagos Meunios. This is something that we've discussed outside, but it's good to put it into the record. Okay, good. So the Hagos Maimonios, as we can often count on him to do, tells us that the Bali Hatosos, had a particular view of this subject that was different than the Rambam. That's the raison d'etre of the Hagos Maimonios. They're there to tell you that, we love the Rambam, but, by Unzara, as we like to say, in Ashkenaz, we had a different perspective, and as we suspected, it's based on the fact that there's a Stam Mishnah and Tmura that seems to support Rabbi Yehuda's position, Ein Bi'ur Chametz Elas Reifa. So he's telling you, the Rambam, of course, is paskening like the Chachamim, and that's legitimate, but we have a different practice. And this Machlokes HaRishonim, classically, if you have a Machlokes between the Bali HaTosos and the Rambam, and you knew nothing, about having seen the text of the Shulchan Aruch, what would you expect? How would you expect it, Ben Sion, to come out? Okay, so put it into the record. Go ahead, Ben Sion. Okay, so that's important. Like I said when we were reading the Rambam, it is important to note, especially as we're trying to set things up for Reb Chaim, not to overstate the case in terms of Bi'ur Chametz Reifa versus Hashpasaso B'chol Davar. It's easy to undersell Hashpasaso B'chol Davar and say you do whatever you want, right? Because the emphasis, and this is the Mechaber quoting straight from the Rambam, is that you really do have to destroy it, right? It's not just enough to just, make a gesture, taking us back to Rabbeinu David and the Kesef Mishnah and Rotze B'Kiyumo, that we're not going to, push you, too hard on it. No, you really have to make sure that it will be mushbas, that it will be destroyed. Ein hayam mechatcho b'mehera, harezem mefaro v'acharkach Zerach Aliyah. Okay, so be that as it may, the Rama. Okay, so let's pause there for a second. We know that to be Rabbi Yehuda's fundamental makor. Ilan, just remind us, what did the Ran make of that? The fact that Rabbi Yehuda derives it from Nosar is a raya. Doesn't sound like it, they're Rabbanan, right? If he's extrapolating it based on Nosar. Now, since the Rama is mentioning if it's Tov L'Sarfa Bayom, Dumbiyat Nosar, that that's the way that Nosar was actually practiced, it is very fascinating. Well, again, this sort of requires going back to our previous sugya, but any thoughts about Rabbi Yehuda deriving in Birachamei Tol Asreifa in the end of the day from Nosar? What does that seem to reaffirm for us, Eitan? Well, you mean here when he's saying that he's going to paskin like this on Mishnah?
Yeah.
Okay, but I just mean in a more fundamental sense. If you say that bir chametz is rooted in Nosar, what are we really saying about chametz?
That it should be burned like three
circles. Well, that's the result. That's all true, Yehuda? That the Isser Chametz is fundamentally rooted in the world of Pachim. Remember we talked about that? That idea that, you know, 7 days a year there's Isurei Daraisa, many of them, that maintain in the Gvulin, but that the fundamental Isser Chametz is really something that's exported out of the Beis HaMikdash. Kol HaMincha Lo Se'afa Chametz Ki Chol Se'or V'chol Devash Lo Saktiru Mimenu Isha LaHashem. So this is also very important to put onto that mental list in terms of associations that we have between chametz and the natural world of kachim. Okay, Ben Zion, go ahead. Achim Rotza.
Achim Rotza, the sorrowful miyad. Miyad achim. They shall all yigurren chod arishos biyad.
Okay, so we're not going to stand on ceremony about this. It's a beautiful minhag to wait towards the daytime, but if, you know, it's going to give you terrible anxiety and you're not going to be able to sleep that entire night, and then goodness gracious, in terms of Magid the next night, you're going to be in a bad way. So the Rama says, you know, don't have a chumra da asi li de kula in many different ways, and if you're going to have the anxiety about it, you can burn it right away. I think I mentioned to you, you know, earlier this year, or at least to the Bekiyas group earlier this year, that those who don't have the minhag of putting out the pieces of chametz when they do the, you know, bedika, so it's rooted in this perspective. Okay, so all this was by way, of course, of introduction to the Minchas Chinuch, and then there's the coup de grace to Reb Chaim. Ilan, take it away. Oh, Ilan Agus, right there. Just a little louder, if you don't mind. Try it one more time. Velo havi kimolava ba michal say deinu mekayim a mitzvah. Anybody have it? Just figure it out from context. If you go another few words, you'll... What's that? close. Okay. Rak but over al halav haba. So lochein lava ba michala say I am tefar mitzvah. So Rama ve Ramban, so they explain this at length. Good. Okay, so let's talk about that. So that's the first major point that the Menachas Tzinnach brings up. Now, I guess you can quibble a little bit with the example. I don't know that tzitzis is the best example in the world to make the point, but he chooses that as an example. So the Menachas Chinuch is obviously trying to pin down the nature of Tashbisu. And like we said, we have really two different possibilities. What we've been pushing for the Rambam up until now, which is the idea that you basically have lo sases. Not owning chametz, not possessing or associating with chametz. And the Torah also formulates that in the positive direction of tashbisu. And that's why Rambam, the Sefer HaChinuch, it's like they can't even talk about the mitzvot aseh without reminding you that it really emerges from a world of lo saseh. That's one model to think about it. And then by virtue of not having chametz, one is mekayim, the mitzvah saseh, be, quote, what does he keep on, which expressions does he, shevel tasei. The alternative perspective is that the Torah is really invested in your confrontation with and destruction of this chametz. An independent mitzvah asay, the outer extreme of which would be that you actually have to acquire chametz for the sake of. Now, according to the former approach, that makes no sense. The whole idea is not to have chametz. Right, Shimi, it is risible, isn't it? It would be absurd to go out and get chametz so that you could destroy it. The whole point is that I don't want to have this chametz. So, in the whole first part of the analysis, the Minchas Chinuch appeals very heavily to the model of Shabbos and Yontif. And he's trying to think about when the Torah says Shabboson or Tishbos, you know, what exactly does that mean? And he thinks that there's a pretty good analogy here, right, Avi? Because you could either say, well, what Shabboson or Tishbos means is essentially an affirmative way of saying Lo Sasa Kol Melacha, or if it's Yontif, Kol Melacha Savoda Lo Sasu. Alternatively, you might say, and certainly this is something that we've alluded to already, that Shabbos transcends just an Isra Malacha, but there's a Shvisa Hanikeres. There's the Ramban's Yelecham Shabboson of Parshas Emor, which means that even Isurim Derabanan undermine the Asei de Oraisa, because there's a whole nature of the day at stake. And really, the essential thing is you having a different quality of experience on this day. It's not just the absence of malacha, but there's a certain experiential or phenomenological quality to the day. So these are the ways that we've always thought about Shabbason. Both of these perspectives are relevant to Shabbason. And I wonder where Tashbisu falls out. So then he appeals, like I say, I think you can quibble with the example, to Dalet Kanfos. Right? So why do I say that the example may not be like the best example in the world, Avi? Right, certainly according to the Rambam, there's a machlokas already in the Amoraim. Do we have a Chovas HaGavra here, or Chovas HaMana? There are extreme views in the Rishonim, like the Ravan, that even if you had a bag of Dalet Kanfos that was sitting in a closet, right, that Chovas HaMana means that we don't care if there's any human being around, or even within a 60-mile radius. If there's a bag of Dalet Kanfos in somebody's closet, they better string it with tzitzis, because it's a Chovas HaMana. It's a Chova in the Beged. The Ravan says that actually in a nice